Without fans, there is no value.
Hey, we really need an artist.
Like, it's never something that crossed my mind.
I'm a nobody.
The number one thing you're looking for in a co-founder is ultimate trust.
Welcome to NFT Steez, a weekly podcast presented by Cointelegraph that delves into NFTs, culture, crypto, and all things Web3. I'm Alyssa Exposito, a freelance writer and educator in all things blockchain, Web3.
And I'm Ray Salmon, head of markets at Cointelegraph and the other half of NFT Steez. We've got JP Alanis here, who began his career in television development at Lionsgate Entertainment. He then went on to co-create and lead Tyler, the Creator's direct-to-consumer media venture and production company called Golf Media. Afterwards, he oversaw content development, product and technology, as well as sales of incubated projects to linear television, including The Jellies on Adult Swim and Nuts and Bolts on Viceland.
And he's accompanied by his brother, Justin Alanis. He serves as a community member at several DAOs that promote, invest, and foster emerging DAOs, including Seed Club, Metacartel Ventures, and Own Fund. So we have two amazing guests today that will talk to us all about how they're beginning to evolutionize franchising intellectual property. The last episode, you heard ourselves and the co-founders of StoryCo discuss a few things. For one, they discussed their aim to make their open media platform a public good. They discussed how their community of holders and creators expands from A-list celebrities like the Kardashian and Margot Robbie to super fans of culture. Rather than simply prompting creatives to quote-unquote, be creative, StoryCo's ethos welcomes and invites creators to peep their centralized stories to eventually vibe with and evolve into more decentralized and open forum stories. We absolutely love the insights they had to offer. So if you missed the first episode, I highly recommend you start off with part one before you dive into part two. Here, let's tune in, shall we?
Correct me if I'm wrong. StoryCo, and no offense intended at all, StoryCo to me sounds like an upscale Upwork or Fiverr for professionals. So here's the real question I want to ask you. I've been a trader my whole life, ever since I've been able to have an account to trade stocks. I've traded stocks, right? And then transitioned into crypto because it was easier. So whenever I approach any project that has a component of investment or something for sale, I'm always looking at like the qualitative components, the fundamental analysis, the technical analysis, the numbers, the realisticness of me getting an ROI out of it. Does this have a product to market fit? Who's really absorbing all the equity and profits from such venture, right? So with Disco Ball, what is the community? NFT holders? Take it like this. All the folks involved with this project and with StoryCo are somebody. Look at their resumes. They're millionaires. They're industry folk. They're heavy hitters. You two are somebody. I'm a nobody if I buy into this project. I bring no skills to the table other than I'm highly creative, but I'm not good at animation. You know, I just have great ideas. And when I connect with people who have great ideas and we sync and we commit to build something, I can get it done, right? But I don't bring like any stellar skills to, like, if I wanted to work with you two guys, there's no reason for you to hire me. So sure, my ownership of the NFT gives me some idea of future success in terms of return on investment or longstanding value. But as an unskilled person or someone without a network, how involved can I really become and how impactful can my membership be on the development of the final product? That's a separate question, right? But my main question is about, if I buy the NFT and I'm a creative, how involved really can I get?
I think that the analogy to Upwork or Fiverr is, listen, I think maybe there's like a network component that is similar to those businesses, but we're not just a pure play hire for work marketplace like those. Instead, what we are is we're a creative marketplace that leverages existing talent for our own productions, but then also creative talent from all over the globe to create new intellectual property and allow then the user generated content from people who want to either write or animate or help produce or just be a fan of that intellectual property, of that IP, of that story, to participate in a very real way. And so we want this to be ultimately a permissionless ecosystem where if you vibe with a story, you should be able to come into that story, get a free NFT, right? The story Pass is free. We're not selling that. That's free. That's an entry point into the story. And you should be able to contribute value in different ways. Everybody contributes value if you view the story, if you do one of our activations, which are these immersive experiences that we're doing throughout our own production. If you want to contribute some user-generated content yourself, if you want to put together a proposal for maybe a committee to review and think about and maybe fund a new creative endeavor that you have towards that project. And then there are also going to be proposals the community puts out that says, hey, we really need an artist. For example, for the Disco Ball, we're doing a backstory for one of our characters. And that backstory was written by Kyle Killen. But then we went out to our producer token community and we said, we want to find an artist from the community to create the storyboards for this entire backstory and have it be then put onto the platform. And we got a ton of applications from artists for that proposal. The community selected an artist out of Nigeria who is amazing. And we're now starting to work with that artist to create these new storyboards for a backstory of our characters. And he is going to be now presenting his art alongside Shelby and Sandy, who are incredibly famous artists.
Well, first of all, I do believe that everyone has something to add to the conversation, that everyone is creative. I think I fundamentally believe that. Just because you are not an accomplished screenwriter doesn't mean that you don't have opinions. I mean, fans contribute so much value to the overall ecosystem of IP. I mean, they really contribute. Without fans, there is no value, right? So you as a fan, you as a consumer contribute value just by the process of you consuming, but also the value of your opinions as a fan adds value. You as an NFT holder would be able to see all of these artist proposals, and you know this story because you've consumed this story. You're ingrained in our community and you can see who might be the best fit, and you can vote on, you know, which artist we end up picking. We're very cognizant of who's buying in and who's earning their way in too. And people may not have the funds, people who are most excited about the project, who you want to be, you know, the nucleus of your community, may not have the funds to buy into that, but you want them to be that nucleus of your community. So how do you start to identify those people? That's really what the Story Pass is meant to achieve. And that's why we're not selling anything up front, because we want to understand who our super fans are and make those super fans the nucleus of our community. And that's what the Story Pass is. So the Story Pass is free for everybody. The Story Pass is an NFT. It tracks your participation and your consumption of the narrative. So like when you finish a chapter, if you consume that chapter, you get something added to your Story Pass. If you contribute an idea, if you engage with the community, you are collecting essentially what we're calling moments in your Story Pass. And by the time, you know, we get to a certain point in the narrative when we're ready to, you know, sell an NFT, we can reward the people who have contributed the most to the story, to the ecosystem, by consuming, by engaging, by giving ideas. And we can make those people really the center of our community and go from there.
Right. Let's ignore the question about VCs and what you intend to do with that money and what their ROI on that is, because you said one thing and then I'm going to turn it over to Alyssa and then we'll do a time check real quick before Alyssa asks her question. But one thing both of you said that kind of piqued this question in me is that, do you think that community members seeing the ideation and production of their ideas and their contributions and the final product is enough compensation, quote unquote, whether that be tangible or intangible, you know, whether it be sentiment and satisfaction or the need for people to put something in their pocket based off of their contribution? Do you think that that's enough compensation for their efforts? And two, since both of you work in this industry, when in American history of film, television, and musical productions has the audience been able to have input into the product from ideation, prototyping, to actual creation? Is this something that we're getting back to, or this is a new door that's being opened where producers connect with consumers and they collaborate to create the product?
Towards your first question, this gets into, I think, some of the underlying value and tokenomics and all of that associated with the project. Truth of the matter is that we're going to learn more about what incentivizes people and what the right rewards should be within our platform and how we appropriately distribute ownership of the platform. The goal of this, again, is to create a public good. And a public good, we believe, lives in the public domain and is owned by the people who are contributing the value to the platform. So having said that, with each one of our productions, at least on the StoryCo side, we're going to allow creators to kind of determine this on their own and build tooling for other creators who are creating new projects. But on our side, we're sharing 50% of the net proceeds of all the disco ball into a shared treasury so that the community of token holders can rally around that shared treasury and help make decisions on that shared treasury for what projects within the disco ball to fund in the future, which projects to professionalize, which projects to bring in new talent around and to actually some production value behind. And so we believe in this idea of this shared treasury. And then we also believe in the idea of then rewarding people based on the contribution that they've delivered to the actual project. That will likely be through a token eventually, but we really believe in the idea of not obfuscating or masking product market fit for having a token, because that can happen quite often. And so what we want to do within the platform is we're using this story pass as a way to assign contribution value to the people who are contributing the most value, but there might not be an economic reward associated with that day one. We may do things like giving away free NFTs. At the end of this disco ball, there's going to be what's called a disco knot. It's going to be a PFP. We don't know what the supply is going to be yet, but Shelby and Sandy are designing it. It's going to be amazing. It's going to have all these rarities and traits that are going to be really cool. As a participant in the disco ball, there may be opportunities to earn free rarities, free disco knots, and other rewards, merch throughout the entire experience. So that's kind of what we're leaning into early on, is rewards more in that way. And then eventually we will have a token at some point in the future. And maybe JP can answer the second part of that question.
I think you're going to have to remind me what the second part of the question was.
I'm so sorry. When did consumers have input into the creative process historically? Are you restoring this through StoryDAO, or is this a novel concept?
I think this is pretty novel. I mean, the only thing I can think of is like oral story traditions, right? Like that's the only thing that I know that might be kind of similar, where, you know, someone tells you a story and then you tell that story back to someone, but you add your own spin on it or you add your own perspective on it. I think that's the only comp, but I do think that nothing since the written word. So I think this new technology is a new paradigm, absolutely a new paradigm that unlocks the ability for people to contribute in a way that they've, I think, been wanting to contribute for a long, long time. Just like the internet was a new paradigm, I think Web3 is a new paradigm for contribution and for attribution of that contribution. I can't think of another thing other than in history.
One of our investors is a guy named Josh Rosenthal, and you maybe have seen Josh. He does the crypto renaissance, and he has a talk on it, and he's been on Bankless. And he talks about the similarities between what's happening in Web3 and what happened with the renaissance. The printing press was this amazing new technology that came out that allowed now anyone to be able to read books that weren't in some hidden away in some library and accessed only by the elite. And then also to be able to then write their own books, information. And this changed everything. And very similarly, I think Web3 is ushering in a new era of ownership, of access. It's breaking down these walls of the people who have access and the people who don't have access, the people who are creating the thing and the people who are consuming the thing. And so I think this technology is really profound. We're at the very beginning of it. There's going to be a lot of experimentation with it. And I think what we're doing within StoryCo, hopefully, is going to, I think, pave a path for what is actually possible in terms of leveraging this technology and utilizing it in a way which is meaningful. And it opens up new opportunities and new paradigms for people all over the world. That's our goal.
Awesome. So our second segment will be Soulbound NFTs and proof of ownership. Can you briefly give us just like what are Soulbound tokens and one simple way that they are utilized? Not specifically to StoryCo, just how they're utilized, and then we deep dive a little bit into how they're utilized for StoryCo.
Soulbound tokens are soulbound. They are non-transferable and they stay with the person who originally claimed or minted that NFT. So they're not tradable. It eliminates the idea of speculation from the NFT market when you have a soulbound NFT. Our producer token community, actually, we originally wanted those tokens to not be soulbound. And then the producer token community came back to us and said, we want these to be soulbound. We love being a part of this community. We can't ever see ourselves leaving this community. And we don't want this to become a speculative engine. We value our membership and our participation in this producer token community more than being able to sell the token. And so we're now trying to find a way to do private sales for people who are inactive to keep the activity just like really vibrant within the community, but selling it for the same price that they bought it for, 0.1 ETH. And the story pass is it's a free NFT, soulbound, and it's a change state NFT. So it evolves and it evolves with your participation. And the reason we did that is because we want people to be really invested in the Disco Ball and our stories and the platform. And you can earn a resume, essentially. And once you start to earn a resume, people can start to understand, oh, this is who this person is. This is what they've done. This is the way that they've contributed value to this ecosystem. And that is, I think, insanely important for any vibrant ecosystem to be successful, any network to be successful, is that you have to understand who's a part of the network, what they contribute in terms of value to the network. And then there can be non-fungible or non-soulbound NFTs that are still a part of that ecosystem. But I think the core is that soulbound component that acts as almost like your profile and your registry for the ecosystem.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you guys are integrating this because we haven't really seen many people actually put it into their ecosystem. So as you guys do venture into the Soulbound token, how do you see it impacting creatives perhaps beyond the StoryCo ecosystem? I know you mentioned this resume. So do you see this being something that's a little bit more interoperable as opposed like with their skill sets?
I think that's the beauty of the blockchain is that the record is public, right? And so if somebody wanted to take, for example, somebody's StoryCo resume and port it over to a new platform, they could do that. If we wanted to take another resume from another platform or something that this person has done outside of the StoryCo ecosystem and port it into StoryCo and give them credit for that, we could do that. And so these do become interoperable because of the blockchain and it's the nature of the blockchain. And so I think that's really powerful. Now, nobody's really stitched all this together yet. There will be, I think, a lot of like integrations between different platforms and ways in which groups like StoryCo can give people credit for things outside of StoryCo that they've done. And I think that there's a really vibrant future around that, basically to be able to build your blockchain-based resume and then to be able to take that resume wherever you go.
I just love it as a community building tool. I think a lot of communities, especially when we're talking about bull markets and the hype cycle, I think a lot of communities get destroyed in that hype cycle. I've been a part of those communities. I've seen it happen. I think when we were really coming up with, you know, what are the mechanisms that we're going to use to build our communities, we wanted to avoid that at all costs. I think speculators have a role in sort of every community and every marketplace. And I think that's a good role, but you want to make sure that speculators don't have an outsized role in your community, that your community is just not made up of 100% price go up speculators. And we wanted to find a way to do that. And the Soulbound NFT was really our solution into finding who our core community members are, identifying them and making sure that they have a voice in what we're doing.
And speaking with the Soulbound NFT, are you guys perhaps utilizing this for the logistical purposes of franchising IP? So the blockchain could facilitate, you know, because it is a public ledger and you do get to see, especially now that you guys are integrating the dynamic NFT in which it'll change based on your contributions. But I guess like when it comes to compensating, you know, for the IP, is that evenly based contribution or is it the factors are measured by how much one contributes with the Soulbound NFT, I guess, attached to it?
I think within any ecosystem, you have to distribute value based on the level of contribution. And the story pass is one way of determining level of contribution within the ecosystem. We don't believe that everybody who's just a part of it should just get the same, that the ecosystem and the network should reward the people who are adding the most. Now, that's a hard thing to get right. We're going to be experimenting with it. There might be some unhappy people associated with it, but we're going to do our best to try to make sure that we are rewarding the right people as a part of our ecosystem and continuing to perfect that because we think that, that's going to play a huge role in our future success.
What's it like working together as siblings? Like JP, what's it like working under your big brother?
Honestly, it's something I never thought we would be able to do. Like, it's never something that crossed my mind because we were in, I think, completely separate industries, right? I was so on this entertainment track, and I think Web3 really brought it together in a way where, you know, once I think my brother had really onboarded me into this world, we were like, wow, these two different skill sets that we have perfectly complement our ability to come together and tackle this problem. I think some people say don't work with family members. I think that's a bunch of BS because I think it's been wonderful. I mean, I think in terms of a co-founder, the number one thing you're looking for in a co-founder is ultimate trust. I think that would be at the top of every list. And I think we have that sort of implicitly in our relationship. And we already have a dynamic. And I think both of us respect each other's point of view. But I think what's easier about it is that we bring different skill sets to the table. So we're very rarely bumping up against the same thing, right? I am taking ownership over a certain section where I feel like I have a lot of expertise. Justin's taking ownership over another half of the business that where he feels like he has the expertise, and we really defer to each other to control those parts of the business and, of course, add input to the other side. I think there's a mutual respect that works. Justin will say something completely different now.
He's my annoying little brother, you know. No, I'm just kidding. It's been pretty amazing. I can't even think of a time we've actually ever really argued. We're not like most, I think, brother duos where you hear about them like arguing all the time and wrestling and whatever. Like, that's not us. We're super respectful of one another and implicitly trust one another's opinions and can always find, I think, common ground and defer to where logic wins out.
Last question, guys. What role do you see Soulbound tokens playing across the entire Web3 landscape in 2023 and 2024? When I think about artists, professionals, industry folk, credit worthiness, proof of skills, and achievement, there seems to be a lot of use cases for this Soulbound concept. So given your time and experience in the industry, what are some direct applications you could immediately see for Soulbound tokens? Like right now in your day to day, how could a Soulbound token solve some logistical issue that you're encountering daily in your work?
Maybe with work, but in terms of your life, just having the ability to have a loyalty and reward system from like Starbucks is a good example where you shouldn't be able to transfer that because that's yours. So in any situation where you have a loyalty program today, I think a Soulbound NFT could completely replace that and be the store of record for your loyalty to the thing that you're interacting with. In addition to that, maybe not Soulbound in this case, but if you have like an ID, well, yeah, like an ID or a license, a driver's license that is issued by the state, having more of a digital record. And we talked about resume that lives with you and is not transferable. So there's all sorts of situations like that where I think a Soulbound NFT can become more of an identity layer for people, whether it be digital or even things that are happening in your real life and physical things.
No, I agree. I'm buying a car right now and it's terrible. Just all the back and forth with the bank.
You should be able to give them one package and expose specific sets of information for that car. And then that car title should be transferred to you on the blockchain, frankly, so that you have a record of that and be able to transfer it yourself at some point. We're not there yet from a physical goods standpoint, right? One of the first houses ever was traded on the blockchain just recently with Roofstock. I come from the real estate industry. And so, you know, this is near and dear to my heart. And I think we're still pretty far away because so much of those records are stored centrally by governments. Whether it be local government, state governments, or the federal government, none of those parties are remotely ready to get onto the blockchain yet and have those records be stored digitally on the blockchain and be owned and controlled by users rather than centrally by them. Until that happens, until we see that change, not sure that some of these innovations will happen.
All right, well, that wraps it up. NFTs are always in a state of construction, deconstruction, and reinvention. And I think that's where we see that what's happening in the NFT market right now. Massive thanks for JP and Justin Alanis from Story Co. for coming on and sharing your thoughts, especially regarding co-creation, co-ownership, and franchising intellectual property.
If anyone's listening that's interested in StoryCo, you can find us at story.co or on Twitter at StoryCoHQ.
And go get your story pass for the Disco Ball.
The Disco Ball Story Pass.
I think I do have the StoryDAO producer token, actually.
Sweet. Alyssa, that means that you're going to get even more contribution value assigned to you and probably a special rarity for your Disconaut. And so there's going to be some really cool things that we're going to do for producer holders. But the story itself is going to be super amazing, guys. Seriously, like you don't want to miss it. It's going to be so fun.
How exciting.
Love it. Looking forward to hearing more about it and maybe even watching the story on Netflix or somewhere someday, because I feel like that's where it's going.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having us on. Bye.